It is Tuesday, September the 12th, and it's time for Campus Connection. I have Superintendent Erica Klutpainter here and School Board Member Mara Latomsky. They're joining me here in the studio to talk about what's happening tonight at the school board meeting. Is your mic adjusting
moving,
okay?
Sorry.
That's okay. We want to make sure it's working and you can hear
what's
going on. So there's a regular meeting tonight. It's at 7 in the middle and high school library. There's some different kinds of things on the agenda tonight. We have some school assessment tests to go over, the results of those, and then a technology update by John Klutpainter, the technology director. I'd love to hear more about that. Starting off with the test results, it was the first year, right, that the state is using the PEAKS test.
Yes.
There's been some different tests over the in recent years.
There have been. It's been a rough couple of years with the state assessment. They were working really hard to try to create an adaptive kind of online assessment, and that was the AMP assessment, the academic measures, from a couple of years ago, and they bit off more than they could chew is really what happened. And we actually ended up, our district ended up being able to test most of our middle and high school kids actually that year, but it was fraught with issues. So I think we all kind of know that story. But and so then really last year they were not prepared, or before that, you know, prepared, you know, with a brand new assessment. So they had gone out to look for a new vendor and to make it still focused on Alaska standards, and so rolled out PEAKS, and it was a pretty short timeline for all of us to get prepared and help our students get prepared for it as well. It was about a 4-month timeline from beginning to implementation. So the tech went pretty well. The students did pretty well, but overall, but you know, it's a new test. It's a baseline year. And you know, the results are interesting to look at. I mean, our students, our district performed much better than the state overall. But there are certainly some areas that we spent some time looking at as a teaching staff before the school year started. It's a little bit difficult with these types of assessments because they're summative and they're very broad in the sense that they don't drill down to individual standards, really. They're just broader, and so it's a summative one day, one time, you know, one moment kind of test. And so it makes it difficult for teachers, too, because you're not really able to use it for instruction per se. You really are, you know, it's a here it is, boom, you take it, and this is your assessment. So you can't really turn around and use it to necessarily drill down and guide what you might do with a student in the classroom.
Yeah, you mentioned like preparing, and how would you do that? Do the teachers have example tests and say, okay, well, these are some of the types of things that might be on there?
Well, and that was what was really difficult this first year because it was such a short timeline. Typically, that is what they do. The state actually does a pretty good job of that. They provide samples for students, and they provide opportunities for teachers and students to practice even the tools themselves online, the actual infrastructure of it all. You know, how is it actually going to work? And so there were even some glitches, a few logistical things there too that didn't work as well as people thought they might have, or they're not intuitive. You know, like sometimes there's things that kids automatically are used to doing in a certain program, tools within it. And they were a little, I'm going to say clunky, that's the word. So there were a few of those that were clunky. So it's that first time that we're able to give all that feedback back to the vendor as well as at the state level, so that we're able to say, okay, these are the things that we thought worked well, these are the things that didn't. And as far as actually having practice tests this year, we didn't really have those. So that makes it difficult also, you know, for teachers. We know the standards, clearly those are out there, but actually honing down to those individual pieces is difficult for that one-time test. So,
yeah, it seems there's so many variables in one day, in that day of testing. I mean, depending on what kids have for breakfast versus if there is some kind of glitch when they're taking it, that could kind of set them off a little bit, you know, they're streaming along doing the answers and then all of a sudden, whoops.
Yes, it can, very much. Or they're going along and then there is some sort of little glitch like that, and maybe some kids roll with those things just fine, and some kids don't. And so we are able to give that kind of feedback as well. We provide that back to the state as well to say, you know, I mean, even you have to mark things like maybe you have a fire drill. And sometimes that can, you know, especially for younger kids, if you're in the middle of something like that and it gets interrupted, you pause a test, you know, you go outside, it's, you know, you reorganize, you have a big siren, and then you come back in, and then, okay, let's sit down and, you know, get back to testing. That didn't happen this last year, but it did happen a couple years ago. We actually had a lockdown alarm go off. So,
well, lucky for that.
And
that
the kids did great, you know, but.
So in terms of, like, this kind of testing, is it's kind of established that this is the way to teach now, right? Like having these assessment tests and standardized tests. And how long has that been that that's the way we're, that's what's supposed to happen in
you
the
know,
schools across the country?
I think it really came into play, honestly, when all the No Child Left Behind legislation came out, so early 2000s. And the idea of having, you know, trying to have that kind of overarching standardized piece, I think it's important. It's a piece of a student's academic profile, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's one piece, but we argue pretty strongly here, and we argue and we talk a lot with parents about it and kids too. We want you to work hard. We want you to do well. But it is one piece of your life here. It's we have other sorts of assessments that we think are more sometimes more indicative of a student's actual performance. We also like to look at lots of other things about kids. You know, are they involved in the community? Are they involved in the arts? Do they have, you know, do they take some of the coursework available in the shop? You know, trying to have a broader picture. And I think when parents come talk to us about those things and they ask those kind of questions, like, is my kid being, you know, just, is this the only thing that's, you know, being used? No, absolutely not. And even when we looked at, we were a little shocked, if you want to say that, if you're looking at drilling down a little bit on the math assessments in particular.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, good grief. You know, you look at basically 30% or, you know, of the kids in the state, according to this test on that day with these standards, with this rubric, are proficient.
Right, so you could see that and say, well, oh my gosh, the system's broken. Like,
right.
Kids aren't learning math.
Exactly, and then you have to step back from that. And we did do that. We drilled down because we're able to in the buildings, you know, to look at individual students. And we actually did that with some students because we thought, wow, we need to, let's look at this, you know. So we took some of our students that are some of our upper, certainly above average students, and some of them that had taken like the PSAT, for example, pre-SAT. So that's a nationally normed, very well, you know, established assessment. And that student had scored extremely high on a nationally normed assessment and had scored honestly barely above proficient on this assessment. So again, her brain did not fall out before she came in to take that test. We know that. And actually she's not a kid who is stressed out by testing. So there weren't other things in her particular story, for example, that were cause for alarm. So then you have to know that there's some other things. Educators within the state actually do some of the cut score setting. So there's a group of people, not just teachers, but there's a broad group of people, even from the vendor themselves, people from the State Department, and then a group of educators from the state itself that actually do the cut score setting. So they did that work this summer. That's why we didn't get the results till August. So what that says is there's potentially some work to be done there as well. It doesn't mean that, oh, we need to lower the standard now because our kids didn't, quote unquote, do well on this test. But it means that we need to look at it more honestly, because again, you can't have a kid, I would argue that, you can't have a kid who does that well on a PSAT and has typically over time has very clearly shown that they are well above average, you know, in math,
mm-hmm.
score barely above proficient. There's an issue there.
Yeah,
you know,
figuring
so,
that out.
Yeah, so that's how I would talk about that, I guess, in that
but
sense.
Then maybe this PEAKS kind of testing is it's something you can work with, is
yes.
what I'm hearing.
Yep. They want feedback. They know these first couple years, and I don't want to say we're not held accountable for them, because we're held accountable for everything. But it's a baseline. You know, it's a baseline year. And they were very clear with us about that, honestly, too. Like, you know, we're not going to have some penalty as a district we wouldn't probably anyway, but I mean, we're not going to, it's not that kind of thing. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's meant to help be a tool and one piece of a student's profile. So those are conversations I've had with some parents too, and just keeping it in perspective, which I think people do here, to be honest.
It's good to hear the superintendent say that, though. I mean, yeah. you said one piece, and that's kind of, I think, something for people to keep in mind, too.
I think so, too. I mean, take it seriously. It's important, but it's a piece. It's, okay. There's lots of things that make up our kids' academic lives. This is one thing.
Including technology.
Including technology.
Yeah, that's something else that you're going to be talking about the school board meeting tonight. Mm-hmm. John Kluepainter is going to be giving an update, and there's been different kind of projects. I don't know the details of the projects, but and then also talking about a viewing of a movie called Screenagers, which I had never heard about before, but I saw it on the agenda and looked it up, and it looks interesting. It's about kids and screen time and talking about what the appropriate amount would be or what's too much screen time for children and how it can affect them and how to deal with that as parents and families. You know, how do you, when kids always want to play those video games and, you know, watch movies and watch TV, that's what they want to do. How do you deal with that?
Mm-hmm. And I believe that the video will talk a little bit more, not just about limiting your screen time, but really how it has become such a major focus in our own lives, in the parents' lives, the child's lives, you know, and how do you break that even cycle maybe of addiction with the screen, and how do you have some life balance? And I think that the screening is meant to be shown with teenagers and parents alike so that they can then have that conversation. So it's not just going to be top down, hey, parents, your kids are messing up. And now you got to change, but, you know, talking to the teenagers as well and saying, this is what's going on with your physiology and with your mind and what happens when you are, engaged with the screen so often.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when I looked at the agenda, I was at my computer, at my desk on my computer, you know, and it really made me think, wow, how much, I'm having screen time in my life. You could be at work with a computer, and then your wind down at home is, I'm going to, you know, watch a movie on my laptop or whatever.
On YouTube or whatever.
Yeah,
that is,
you know.
And the next thing you know, you've stopped up an hour.
It does add up.
Know,
yeah.
Of time. And actually, Mara had mentioned it to me. I had had a couple of parents who had talked to me about it. Actually, last spring, I had a parent or two, because it's fairly new. And so there were some people that had some relatives or friends down south that it had been shown in their community. And it is meant to be a community conversation. It's not a finger-pointing conversation. We're all in this together, whether it's parents, school, it's all of us, because it is everywhere. It's all around us, you know, on some level, some degree. There's some good brain research in it about actually, because this is so new. There's a generation of kids that are going to potentially, you know, when they get to be 20 and 30, there will be a body of evidence at that point, but we don't have that body of evidence right now. You know, we don't truly know everything that's happening within the frontal lobe and how, I mean, they've got some studies that have been done on it, but we're not really going to know how this is all, you know, going to play out until, I mean, it'll be in the future still. So we're in it. So trying to work with people to just be more intentional about it. We did watch it as a staff. It was very enlightening. Great conversation. I mean, as parents of, I mean, the staff members that we all watched it, because we're, I mean, many of us are parents. Many of us have young kids and teenagers. Some people have kids that are in college and beyond, who are now raising their own kids and maybe raising them differently than they were as far as screens. We've had some really interesting things come out of it too. A lot of people have talked about things they've done in their own homes, instituting things like absolutely phones are put completely aside for a dinner time. You know, just even small things that if you just really think about how much time they're there or even just within hand's reach, you know, the phones in particular, there's a lot of conversation in the movie documentary. About it.
So is this screening happening soon?
Here
in Petersburg?
It is, yes. Okay. We have actually just today solidified dates, and we're actually going to show it two times for sure, and possibly three. So we want to leave some options for people. We also have, you know, we'd like to show it in the auditorium. It's a little smaller, more intimate environment. We don't have no idea how many people really may be interested, but it has met with pretty big success, or whatever you want to call it, in other communities. There have been a lot of people, because we actually are going to really encourage all parents of kids of all ages. They're recommending kids 10 and up watch it, but parents of all ages of kids really should see it. I mean, if whether you're a prospective parent or you're a parent of a 2-year-old, or it's very enlightening. I would encourage it.
So it sounds like caregiver. Of a, you know, a young
absolutely.
Too, so.
So with multiple showings or viewings in here in Petersburg at the auditorium, there might be a chance for just the general public to watch it too.
Yes,
just
it will
students.
Be for the general public. We're going to actually show it. We are going to have some showings at school for students, but parents are encouraged to bring their kids with them if they choose as well, so that kids could, they may watch it twice. I've watched it twice now. I'll watch it then 5 times if we show it 3 times. So we're looking at October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, doing a Sunday evening after the regular movie day, and then a Monday and a Tuesday evening. And then there will be opportunity to have conversation after. There's some, actually the people that did the documentary have kind of put together like a moderator kind of guide for whether it's school people, whether it's parents, you know, whoever. We'll have a group of people up there, but it's more of a conversation. It's not a... yeah, this is all of us figuring it out together, I guess is what I would say. So it's not like there's going to be this big panel of experts up there that have all the answers. This is all of us talking about our own kids, you know, at school and at home. So we're excited about it. So and Mara was another one of the people who had talked to me.
Yeah. I had just seen an advertisement for it, clicked on it, read about it, and I thought that it was pertinent to our community. And
yeah.
I think pertinent to every community. if you have technology in your life, it's pertinent to you.
Absolutely. And I signed up even, and anybody can do it even now. There's a tech, they do like a Tech Tip Tuesday little email thing that they'll get an email, but it'll come to you every Tuesday. But it is, they're great conversation kind of starters. They send out little pieces of information every week, just, you know, have you considered this? Or maybe you want to talk to your kid about that. And again, it's not finger pointing stuff. It's just food for thought.
Well, it's not, and it's not going to change. You're still going to get emails. I mean,
yes.
It's only going to be more
exactly.
available,
yeah.
I think.
Balancing, shutting down at times, knowing that not only is that okay, but it's actually, it's important. It's valid. We all need to disconnect at times. We need to.
All right, so October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, we can help announce some of that on
the
radio.
We're
going
to get some stuff to you, too.
And then... also, just letting people know that there are a couple seats open, right, still on the school board?
Sarah did sign up for one of the seats, so she'll be on the ballot, running unopposed. And then there is a second seat available that has not been filled, and I don't believe that there's been a write-in candidate as well. If that stays that way, then after the election, we will go about trying to appoint someone. So if you're interested in any of that, being a write-in or being appointed to the board, please contact the school district office.
Yeah. These people can still run as a write-in candidate. The election's on the 3rd of October.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know the deadline of... Well, I think we actually may have an announcement.
Yes.
Can dig that up. But
there is
I think it might be the 29th
I think
of
it's
September.
The 29th as well for write-in
to
have that submitted.
Yeah, so you still have time to think about...
Yep.
School board. What else about tonight that you might want people to know about?
We have a couple of new classified staff, a couple of new aides that we've hired, one at the high school and one at the elementary school, and they've joined our team, and it's been great. I guess if we want to talk at all about strategic planning coming up, that's we're working with Timmy Tullis, who's our AASB, our school board association. She's a trainer there, and... we're going to do some contracting, some work with her to do some strategic planning in the school district, which actually we need, and we're encouraging people who are out there in the community as parents or business people or, you know, who might be interested in serving on that committee. It'll be in November 16th
and 17th. Yeah, I saw that.
17th.
I saw that. So that's a planning committee for the school district, so people who are interested in, maybe they don't want to be on the school board as a school board member, but this is kind of a
Yeah, a way to be involved in helping to do some planning and setting some goals for the district. And so if people are interested in that, they could also check in with, you know, let school board members know, or if they have questions, they could always check in with me or let me know.
So is that committee a year-round kind of thing, or it's just more of a November event?
It's an intensive 2 days. It is 2 days. We will feed people. I always think it's important to let people know there's food. I always like to know that. Anyway, so it'll be 2 days, a Thursday and a Friday, pretty full, heavy days. So, and then there'll be some follow-up, of course, beyond that, but those will be the two primary days. And then you know, you revisit it yearly, you know, talk about it at the board level and with the community about, you know, how you're doing towards, you know, meeting your goals and working toward that. So it's an opportunity for people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And we will be seeing you tonight at 7 at the Middle and High School Library, where it's a regular school board meeting. And KFSK will be broadcasting the meeting live if you can't make it there, but it is open to the public.
That's right.
If you want to go in person.
Sounds great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.